Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth. Turn to you and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 20. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1078. Page 1078. We're not going to read it, but actually this reading is in two parts. The first part, Jesus goes looking for some fruit on a fig tree, and there's no fruit on it because it's not the season for fruits. And Jesus curses the fig tree and says, may no fruit ever be found on you again. And so now it's the next day, they're walking past, and the disciples, in fact, see this fig tree, and it's withered down. And so they remark about that, and Jesus gives a teaching in response to this observation. And so we pick up in Mark chapter 11, verse 20. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away at its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I ask you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord. Sometimes I come to these readings and teachings on Sunday, and I wrestle with it and pray with it, and I think, my goodness, why couldn't I have picked something easier? I have a book, The Hard Sayings of Jesus, and this is one of the sayings that's in that book. Difficult for us to understand, and I believe difficult for many people, particularly those who are new to the faith, to understand that this is something in the Bible, and yet so contrary to our own experience. I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That's an amazing promise. And out of that comes this prosperity gospel, or the name it and claim it gospel. You know, you name it and claim it, and it's yours. And God has to do it because he said in his Bible that he would do it. And so we kind of hold God accountable. Of course, that's always a dangerous position to be in. But nevertheless, there is this teaching in Scripture. Let me read it again. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Wow. Now we've got two options here. One is to say, well, this doesn't really mean what it says, and it's not really true, and so I just have to kind of let it go because I've tried it. I wanted to win the lottery, and I asked Jesus to help me win the lottery, and I said I believe it, and it didn't happen. And so this evidently must be something that it's just not, you know, just dismiss this one. It's not just not true. The other option, which we're going to take today, is to say, wait a minute, we're talking about the Word of God here. This must be true. Therefore, the question is, in what way is this true? In what way is this a true statement of Jesus? As powerful as it is, can we understand how Jesus intended for us to apply this teaching to our own lives? Now, thanks be to God, we have Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I think as Paul expounds on prayer, he's really addressing the very same question that Jesus just made a statement of. If you believe that God had heard it and you have faith, and then you'll receive whatever you're asking for in prayer. So we need to ask ourselves again, in what way is this true? And so I want to look at this fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. and understand. Another way of looking at this that in fact makes it true for us. Just to kind of highlight this fourth chapter, which could be, a lot of sermons could be preached on this. I'm just really touching on just a little bit of this fourth chapter. It has so many amazing things in it. First, it calls us to stand firm in the Lord. Paul says that our names are written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, which goes all the way down to back to the time of Moses, talked about, you know, the book of life and having our names in it. He talks again about rejoicing in the Lord, talks about having peace, don't be anxious, that he learned to be content. We're also to be content. Let our requests be known to God with thanksgiving. We're to think positively, says whatever is wonderful, whatever is good, whatever is right, think on these things. That's positive thinking, which is another teaching that comes out of that, the power of positive thinking. If I just think something is true or think something is right, it will be. I have nothing to do with God. The power is within me and my mental ability to think things to be simply by thinking positively about those things. Paul says that he had learned to be content. And offers to us that we too could have that sense of contentment. And then again, a couple bombshells. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What a statement. What a statement. And yet I would again think that there's many of us who have been through trials. And it's like, there's times that didn't work for me. I have to tell you. It just didn't work for me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And then another one, God will supply every need. Wow. God will supply every need, all to the glory of God. So there's a lot here. We're just going to take some pieces. But one that we're going to take is to understand in what respect about prayer is this teaching of Scripture true for us. And as I prayed, I want to just set the context basically for our teaching today. Is again, the basis is that our names are written in the book of life. I talked a couple weeks ago. We are God's elect last week. We are God's elect. We are God's chosen ones. We are his holy ones called out of the world. We are saints of God, holy ones. No one comes to the Father unless Jesus, unless the Father draws him, and no one will snatch us out of the Father's hand. So we have that assurance of salvation. So now the question is, how do we live that out in constant relationship with God and in getting help from God? So we're talking here today about sanctification and working out our salvation. Okay, our names are written in the book of life. How do we then live that out? How do we work through the struggles and the trials and the doubts of this world? The answer is going to be, we do it with God's help. And how do we get God's help? By asking. And what is the proper way to ask? Prayer. That's the essence of Paul's teaching today in this fourth chapter. So our names are written in the book. We have that assurance. How do we live out in the meantime? We live it out with God's help, and we get God's help by asking for it, but asking in the right way. What does that mean? Well, let me go back then to establish a basis for this teaching, which I believe is something that Paul establishes and Jesus as well in his teachings. And the basis is that all that we do is done in the Lord. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. I went back and counted 15 times in this very short letter. 15 times in just four chapters. Paul talks about being in the Lord or being in Christ Jesus. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, we are baptized into Christ Jesus. We're not baptized into a denomination. We're not baptized into a church. We're baptized into Christ Jesus. And so what does that mean for us? Because that is the basis of everything we're going to be talking today. That we are in the Lord. We are in Christ. Now, one way I think we can look at that is, again, look at the Scriptures. What does the Scripture reveal to us about the thing that Scripture is teaching? Scripture interprets Scripture. One of the things we see in the early church, in the Acts of the Apostles, was that they devoted themselves to four things. The apostles' teaching, which is the Word of God, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so if we ask ourselves, am I living my life in the Lord, That's one way I think we can look at it. To what extent do I devote myself to the Word of God, spending time in the Word of God? To what extent do I devote myself to fellowship and living within the body of Christ and feeding off this spiritual energy that comes when we gather together to give glory to God? In what sense am I partaking and believing in the power of this sacrament, this breaking of the bread, where Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in them. That's being in Christ sacramentally through the bread and the wine. And then finally, the prayers and our prayer life, talking to God, being at one with God, setting aside time in our lives to communicate and rest in the Spirit of God. And I would say this, that this is kind of a statement. I think I have about a 90% confidence level in this statement that I'm about to make. But basically, my statement is this: to the extent that we are in Christ, and I believe it's a matter of degrees, how much time do we spend in the Word of God and fellowship and prayer and sacrament? How much? To the extent that we are in the Lord, this applies to us. To the extent that we are not in the Lord, I believe this is not going to make sense to us at all. If we're not involved in at least some way in Bible study, in prayer, in fellowship, in the sacrament, somehow, some way, if we're not, then this is just going to seem like, foolishness to us. Well, I tried it. I prayed to win the lottery, and God didn't make me win the lottery, and so this must not be a true statement. So I think it's a matter of degrees to ask ourselves about prayer being answered and prayer being given thanks for. The degree to which this is true depends on our own degree of being what Paul refers to as in the Lord. In the Lord. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But if we have nothing involved with our Bible study, the scriptures say in James, he says, the double-minded person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. A double mind, what does that mean? That's a person who's, you said you can't serve God and money. Are we tied to the world? Are we looking to the ways of the world? Are we tied up in the world? Do we give homage to the Lord, to the world? Is our allegiance to the world? Then we're not going to get these prayers answered, and we'll have no sense of what this is saying. But to be in the Lord is to have the mind of Christ, to have the desires of Christ, to think and communicate with the Father the way that Jesus did. And so that's the foundation of everything we're talking, to what we look at in Scripture. The first question is, are we, in, to a certain degree or to what degree, in the Lord when we come to the Lord in prayer? So that is the basis. Now from that, we get what Paul says now in verse 6. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So to make our prayers and supplications to the Lord, I think we're all pretty good at that. Anytime we pray, we've got our long list of things, right? Please help with this, do that, I need that. I've got relationships, I've got financial issues, I've got health issues. We have a pretty good list to come before the Lord in prayers and supplications. And that's good. Paul says, yes, fine. That's good. But he says to come with thanksgiving. Now, isn't that kind of a strange note? To come to the Lord with all these requests, and we're supposed to give thanks. Thanks to God has heard our prayer. Thanks to God has answered our prayer. In what way could that be true? That we pray for something to happen, and then, by the way, I'm going to give you thanks for this being true. I wrestled with that this week. And I actually have been led to I go through kind of seasons of different kinds of prayer. And this was kind of a new season of kind of prayer, is a prayer to turn all the petitions into prayers of thanksgiving, in a way claiming it. Now, particularly if these things are scriptural, it's powerful. Just take an example of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a proclamation that we make. And then we say, give us this day our daily bread. I turn around and say, Father, I thank you for giving me this day my daily bread. I'm claiming that promise for me. Father, I thank you for forgiving my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Father, I thank you for leading me not into temptation. Father, I thank you for delivering me from evil. I'm claiming all those promises. And you're thinking, well, that's pretty safe because that's scripture. And I'm like, that's the point. That's the point, is we're praying the things of scripture. If we pray the Psalms, what beautiful Psalms. If people say, well, I don't know how to pray, go to the Psalms. They're beautiful. And turn those into prayers of thanksgiving. The Lord is my shepherd. Father, Jesus, I thank you for being my shepherd. You see how you can turn that around? I thank you for leading me to still waters. I thank you for leading me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And for me this week, it was like, wow, this is a whole new way of praying, to give thanks. I think that's what Paul's talking about. Am I praying, I want to win the lottery and thank you, Lord, because I'm going to claim it before I even buy my ticket? No, that's not what that's not praying in Christ, right? Would Jesus have asked to win the lottery? Well, we don't know. I don't think they had a lottery back then. But chances are not. Jesus didn't talk about those kinds of things, and he tells us, don't worry about it. Your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him, right? So he says, don't be anxious. Don't worry about what you're going to put on or what's going to happen tomorrow. All those anxieties and the fear. He says, don't worry about that. So I think another part of this praying is that as we are in Christ and have the mind of Christ, we pray the kinds of things that Jesus prayed. What kinds of things would those be? One example. Heavenly Father, please help me to be more like Jesus. Wow. Wow. Heavenly Father, help me to be more like Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you're working in my life now, making me more like Jesus. That's a pretty, you say, well, that's a pretty safe one. Yeah, yes, but it's a powerful one. And that's where Paul's saying, and I think that's where Jesus is saying as well, whatever you ask the Father, you know, you ask him to be more, you want to be more like me, guess what? He's going to answer that prayer. And so we give thanks to him for that. Father, help me in my relationships to be more sensitive to the needs of others. Father, just help me. You think he's going to answer that prayer? Absolutely, he's going to answer that prayer. Father, help me to be more thankful for others and for things in this world. He's absolutely going to answer those kinds of prayers. So as we are again in Christ, do you see the very subject of our prayers changes? It's less about, oh, I need this bill paid or I need that. He says, if you come first to me in these other things, make me more like my son Jesus, I'm going to take care of the rest. Now, I agree, it's a hard thing. It's a tough sell. Because sometimes we have so many things that challenge us, and sometimes we just simply have to accept them. And I had a challenge this week, and I'm kind of embarrassed a little bit because it's such a small, puny little thing compared to what I know some of you people are dealing with. But I had a thing that happened to me this week, and I lost my joy. I know, oh, poor Don. Don lost his joy this week. We've been praying, you know, it says, rejoice in the Lord, always, I say, you know, rejoice. Okay, I've been preaching on that, I've been teaching, and this week I lost my joy. You know what it was? Computer problem. Computer problem. I'm embarrassed to say it took away my joy, but it did. Friday, 2 days ago, right? You never try to do an upgrade on your computer when you need the computer, right? I know that. Friday morning, I'm looking, it says, do you want to upgrade? And I'm like, all right, fine, I'll do it. You know, and it just messed up the whole computer. Messed the whole thing up. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I've got to get ready for Sunday. And so I take it. Thank God we've got a guy right down in town Hayesville on the square who is an Apple, got an Apple, an iMac, who's an Apple repair person. So I take it there and I take him in. And this is like 10 o'clock in the morning, take it in. I say, okay, this thing's not booting. It just won't start. You know, can you fix it? And he says, yes, I, you know, good. This is the place and so forth. He said, we have a policy here of first come, first serve, though, and I've got some machines ahead of you. And I thought, first come, first serve. What kind of a policy is that? I don't want to first come, first serve. How about the one who's standing in front of me gets priority? I like that policy. He says, I've got some ahead of you. So I think I can get to it on Monday. Now, I didn't get into it. Do you realize I'm a pastor of a church and how important? I didn't even get into that because I thought it's just not going to sell. And so I said, well, I'm taking my computer and I'm going home. And I did. Well, I don't know why, because I went home. I tried one other thing maybe to get it to boot and it didn't work. So I had to go back with my tail between my legs, you know, and I had to go back, humble myself and say, yeah, it's not working, you know, just what you can do. But I tell you, I truly did lose my joy over something like that. And a guy said, there's other things I know that many of you are dealing with. You think, oh, really? Now it's really part of the thought process here. One of the things I think is really great that Paul talks about here is this thinking positively. He says, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And see, that brings us back to the battleground of the mind and how we think. This just gets back to having the mind of Christ being in the Lord. And so it took me about an hour, but I kind of worked through that. And I thought, really, is this really going to be that terrible? My computer doesn't work. Is my life so tied up in a machine that I'm going to be distressed and, you know, until this thing gets fixed? And I thought, no, that's not right. I'm going to let it go. I've got other ways. I've got to have things done. But you know what? I'd have to ask other people to help. I don't like to ask other people to help. I like to be able to do everything myself. I like to be able to depend on me, right? Can anybody relate to this? So not only did I have to humble myself to ask other people to do some things to help get ready for Sunday, but I had to be patient and just say, I'm just going to give this to the Lord. When it gets fixed, it gets fixed. Guess what? Whatever, it's going to be okay. Do you see that the mind changed? I started thinking about the positive and thinking, really? Look at what other people are dealing with. And my thinking changed and my attitude changed and the joy returned. And I was like, now again, this is a silly example, you know, talking about a stupid computer. And think some of you are dealing with things that are far more significant than that. And yet I took it to the Lord. It was an exercise for me. The end of the story is that the guy was actually able to look at it. I got it back by the end of the day. And thanks be to God, it wasn't that serious and they were able to do it. And so when I turned it over to the Lord and said, it's you, that's sometimes when he starts working, you know. Have you ever done that? Well, fighting and fighting and fighting, and finally I turn over the Lord, and then it works. He's like, he's saying, I've been waiting for you to do that, by the way. Yeah, finally turn it over to me. Okay, now I'll take some action, okay? So what an exercise it was for me to humble myself, to ask others, but also just to give it to the Lord, and how easy it was for me to lose my joy. Here, I'm the pastor of a church. I'm teaching this stuff. And look how easy it was for me to just be discouraged and despondent just because of a stupid computer. So I confess to you and to God, we can't let these things rule our lives. And yet that's just a small example of the kinds of things that we do. And we get back to realizing, you know, I've got salvation in eternity with Jesus. And I'm worried about whether my computer is going to be fixed in 2 days or 3 days. So how we think. So again, the basis for this, you know, ask God in prayer and believe that he's going to answer it begins on the basis of being in the Lord, being in Christ. The things we ask for, not things so much with the lottery, but more things like about relationships, particularly my relationship with the Lord. Help me to be more like Jesus. Those are the prayers that I think, believe, you know, the scriptures are talking about. Now, what happens when we have that mindset change? That's what Paul's saying. We've got joy. We have peace. And I did. I had a peace that came over me. I just let it go. I said, I don't know how, but it's going to be okay. I let it go. There's a contentment. Paul says, I've had good stuff and bad. He says, I've learned to be content in every situation. I'm like, wow, what a great thing. I'm not going to let the worries of this world get me, because if I don't have something, if I'm in the Lord, to the degree I'm in the Lord, if I don't have something, guess what? I must not need it. Or I don't need it right now. You say, I'm going to do something, by the way, in you. So you're not going to get it right now. But I'm going to take care of it. But you're not going to get it right now. So what I have to do, I have to trust, be patient. Horrible things, aren't they? Challenging things. And yet this is what it means to be in the Lord and to have the mind of Christ. And so I think that's what it all gets back to. Thinking positively, the mind is the battleground. And as we come to the Lord that way, I believe this is, let me read this again now and see if it makes better sense. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, now the basis again for everything Jesus taught was being in the Lord, asking in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? Asking in the mind of Jesus. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Praying with thanksgiving, believing that we come to the rail here, you know, and I lay hands on people and I say, be you know, healed and protected in the name of Jesus Christ. We claim that and we believe, yes, I believe something's happening there. I have a healing, a strengthening that's going on. Does it mean complete physical healing? Probably not. Maybe. But certainly a spiritual strengthening and a protection that gives us. We have no idea about protection, how things God protects us from, right? Because we don't experience them. Isn't that amazing? Well, I don't think God's protecting me. Well, what's happened to you in the last, you know? And God, I think he's protecting us all the time. Thank you, Father, for protecting me. Thank you for delivering me from evil. Thank you for leading me not into temptation. You see, we can turn all these prayers into thanksgivings, believing that God is answering those prayers because we are in Christ, devoting ourselves to apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And so all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I think this makes sense. I think this actually is a very true statement of Scripture. Whatever we ask in prayer in the Lord, we can claim the Father's going to answer that prayer, and it will be ours. Wow, what a wonderful statement. What a wonderful position, relationship with a God. And so it is out of that that Paul's able to make these tremendous statements. Now again, all of a sudden, all right, this makes sense. If that's where Paul's coming from, this makes sense. Because what he says, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Before, when I, you know, that sounded like an amazing statement. And now it's like, yeah, of course I can do all things through him. Why? Because he's working in me. And I'm asking for things that are, you know, by his will and his relationship. So of course I can do all things through him who strengthens me, because God can do all things and he's the one who's working with me. We're buddies. You know, we're like this. And so I trust him and he does all things. And then the second amazing statement, based on, again, what we've just talked about. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. See that again? In Christ Jesus. My God, your God, our God, will supply every need of ours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To God our Father be glory forever and ever. Finally, what's it all about? Glorifying the Father. The Father glorifying himself in us and through us. How? By giving us the things that we ask for according to the mind of Christ. This is amazing stuff. This is powerful stuff. It is in this that we have what Paul can say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Have that peace of God which passes all understanding. My brothers and sisters, this stuff is true. It works. Whether it's a computer problem or fighting some kind of a disease or a financial situation, whatever it is, relationship, whatever it is, it works. We ask. And then God says, okay, I'm going to do that. Now, this is what I want you to do, by the way. This is what I want you to do. That's the other part of the prayer. I hear me, Lord. I thank you. Okay, now, Lord, what's my part? This is what I want you to do. There's always another, almost always another part. It's true stuff, and it's powerful stuff, and it's stuff that we need. It's stuff that the world needs. Why? Well, I'm telling you, this is the kingdom of God stuff. The King is here. The power is here. The Holy Spirit is moving here. And these things are happening as we are in the Lord. And as we live that way, truly, the best is yet to come. I mean, there's good stuff just waiting for us to ask the Lord, in the mind of Christ. God really does love us more than we can imagine. Wow. Would someone please close us in a prayer?